Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Looking to get out of the ads and back to the story? Fable and Folly Plus is a new way to support the creators you love. The podcast you're listening to right now, and more than 60 others, can be heard ad-free for as little as $4 a month by visiting fableandfolly.com/plus. And now, you'll start to see Fable and Folly Network shows are offering bonus content to all existing and new supporters. Find exclusive new episodes from shows like Where the Stars Fell, The Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program, and Civilized. Plus, early access to new episodes of Midnight Burger, all still entirely ad-free. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts, a 6th event podcast, video event one-shots, and an additional video D&D campaign. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back, children of the night, to Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast. I am your host, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around the spooky dude.
Having escaped the sewers, the Coterie have stumbled into a series of escalation problems. Avery discovered that Emily turned into a werewolf, and Kiru, Dr. Skull. Ridley heard back from Chonky that the Bear Boys are being held hostage by the pop star the Satin Prince, and Iris has become a fugitive for her part in killing Gordon Stevenson. Things are getting tricky for our Coterie. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here.
So, Iris, things aren't going so great. Emily's missing. Your best friend in the whole wide world, Dr. Skull, is dead. You've been accused on national television of murdering Gordon Stevenson, which admittedly is true, but you didn't necessarily want anyone to know.
Hey, I didn't murder him. I let other people do it.
And then she ate him with us.
Fair enough. I mean, look, the news media isn't great about details.
There's no blood on her hands. It's all in her mouth.
And in the syrup. But over and above all of that, you are faced with yet another huge dilemma. A makeover engineered by our boy Ridley. So let's talk about what the result of this disguise makeover is.
What?
If you recall the end of last session, it was determined that in order to keep the police off your tail, that Ridley would give you a makeover. The second such makeover he has given you. We described it a bit like the makeup gun from The Simpsons or a clown, in that he's good at the dressing, but not necessarily the makeups. Ryan, what celebrity do you think you're making Iris look like? And Iris, what celebrity did he actually make you look like? Ryan, you go first.
All right. I think he's dealt with a lot of like drag makeup more than anything else. Like a lot of like extreme makeup. So he tried to do that, but tone it down. So we're going for like a classy, but in drag, RuPaul.
Okay. All right. Miles, what did you actually end up looking like?
Nicole Richie a la The Simple Life.
Yeah, it's a good
damn,
pull.
Damn, that is a good pull. Also, that's a pretty good disguise for Iris. I feel like that is not the expected look for an Iris Dunn. So he does that with your makeup. Iris, based on the clothing you presumably have stowed here, we'll also say that, well, I guess no, because your apartment would be watched now. So based on the clothing available to you from what exists of Everett's wardrobe, Ridley's wardrobe, the clothes you've stashed here, anything TJ might have around, and or just the lost and found department. What do you think you're wearing now?
Well, I mean, if I'm looking like Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie, it's probably like I found a pair of jeans and they've now been fashioned into a really gross jean skirt and taken a plaid shirt and made it into one of those like kerchief tops.
Oh, so we're going like full The Simple Life.
Ah.
Dang, wow.
Damn. All right. Very good.
Right. We'd said that there was an outfit that was like a lumberjack thing from Emily's. So we'll just, you did some amazing work on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. So yeah.
Like a little classier version of someone who would hang out in a dive bar.
Yeah, I think TJ is like, I don't know that you're going to be able to make anything out of these clothes. And then you come back out, he's like, touche. Are you sure you don't work here? You look like Lurleen.
Who's Lurleen?
Oh, she used to work here. She looks like that. And he just points at Iris. He's like, but, you know, not as good.
Well, I guess that's my name now.
It's nice to meet you, Lurleen. You didn't tell anybody you were hanging around with us, right? Do we all need fake names? I don't know what you told the hotel or whatever you lived at.
No, no one. Oh, do you think I'd tell anybody else about you guys?
No, not especially.
Exactly. Thank you.
I like that could either be a compliment or it is.
Wanted to cover the bases in case.
Cool.
Yeah, what a professionally respectful thing to do. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. You're very welcome.
Okay, great. So having sufficiently Lurleened up Iris, the three of you are left with a dilemma. Everett, I'm going to say during the makeover, you've been doing some investigation. Now, I know you hate making these roles because you're not very good at them.
Yeah.
it's like Iris shooting a gun.
Investigation die.
Yeah, so if you could roll me that, I'm real sorry. I'm just an uninspired storyteller.
All right. Investigation, wits, or intelligence? Is the difference between 7 or 8 dice?
I would say this is you just doing like internet searches, trying to suss out information from the bar. So
wits then from the
sounds
of
it? Yeah, I think wits, yeah. It's not really something you can just sit and have a think about.
I need to determine which one's going to be my hunger die. You. Okay, there we go. All right. Man, this is what I talk about before. Two successes.
How many dice abysmal. Did you roll there, Tyler?
Oh, no, sorry. The zero is a, counts as a 10 on this one. That's my bad. Eight dice, three successes.
All right. Okay.
And a crit fail on the hunger die.
Did, was that a 10 or a 1?
It's a 1. Ah. So I don't think it means
not
anything.
A fun one. No, just a regular failed dice. Wicked. You find so basically as they're leaning up Iris, Everett, you set out to basically determine what the deal with the Satin Prince is. You remember because I think of the three of you, your brain's pretty good for just like catching details. And you recall that the Satin Prince was set to do a run of shows here in Montreal. But I think that would also suggest to you, as someone who has experience tracking people who leave, that there might actually be a time limit on this situation, given that if he's in town for one more day, as is in fact the case, you might have a much more limited window to recover the Bear Boys. So obviously the two biggest concerns for the coterie right now, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I would suggest the two biggest concerns right now are Emily and the Bear Boys. Emily, I think, takes a secondary position only because you don't have any leads other than the Bouchard brothers, but you'd have to go pretty far out of town to find them. Also, you are currently missing your muscle, which is a big fucking problem, given that the orphans are back on your trail. So is that a fair assumption? Your other kind of ongoing concerns, you have the fact that the Bouchard brothers gave you something that seemed to do this to Emily. You also have the upcoming Elysium, which isn't for another few evenings, but is a thing that exists.
Elysium is?
Yeah, again? So Elysium is the party that Iris was invited to. The coterie wouldn't...
She gave away our DJ for invites.
Yeah.
Right, that other vampire lady, right?
Yeah, gave away DJ Miller, the greatest of all NPC characters.
R.I.P. Dr. Skull. It's a title that'll change hands in the future.
Breathe through it, Tyler, breathe through it.
You've got those situations going. You've got the Children of Batista. Obviously, you have the weird monsters in the sewers. You are aware of the whale and the spider, but you're not really sure what their deal is yet, as well as the mysterious woman who led the monsters away. So you've got some kind of open cases.
I think we got to deal with these just one at a time. If we've got a time limit, we go get the Bear Boys because they'll protect the neighborhood and they'll help us hunt if we need to bring in a werewolf alive, want to be clear. If we've got more of them, alive is more likely because we've got this bad habit of opening up werewolves and eating their insides, which we don't want to do with Emily. Also, I feel like having a whole gang will help us hunt, you know, Bouchards in the woods to be like, what the fuck did you sell us?
Yeah. And ultimately, from what I saw at the hospital, looks like Emily can take care of herself, at least for now. And this Satin Prince, I mean, he's leaving town soon, so there's kind of a time limit there.
I agree.
Yeah, right now Emily's more of a danger to others as opposed to a danger to herself.
Are you going to be able to focus on what needs to be done with Emily out there, Iris?
Yeah, I just feel so bad because she's such a pacifist.
Right, well, that's good to know.
Well, you know, sometimes people change after long times in the hospital. I had a friend who got hit in the head with a brick, and then he was nuts.
Yeah, people can change into wolves.
Yeah, he thought his mum was a cat, much more harmless. No doctors died, but it was fucking weird.
But yeah, I agree. Emily could take care of herself right now.
Also, Harvey, also a concern. However, he is definitely in the throes of the embrace. At this point, like, DJ Malone knows He knows everything. He knows the deal.
So I feel like TJ knew everything. I wasn't.
Yeah, no. I feel like
we just started a cab company.
Yeah, I was gonna say like TJ throwing cuts of meat downstairs isn't outside the realm. Obviously, that's not an ideal meal for a vamp, but you know.
Weird question. I had to drain Harvey to turn him into a vampire. What did that do to my hunger? Because I was very hungry beforehand.
That would slake your thirst.
Dope.
Because you basically drained him to nothing. And then, granted, you fed him. So let's say you have one hunger just to account for... I can't fucking imagine that the embrace is like a non-exhausting process.
Yeah, I think one hunger is totally reasonable. Sold.
Right, cool. And refresh my memory, where is everyone at with hunger right now?
I have one day.
One?
I have one.
One all around.
One's all around. Fantastic. It's like a brand new night. Great. So, excellent. With that in mind, Everett, you have spent your time doing a rough search. You've discovered that the Satin Prince has sorry, this is bad storyteller on my part. This was the beginning of an evening, right? You'd arrived.
We went to the hospital, I think, and then went to Emily's.
Yeah, still early.
Yeah, it's early in the
like
night.
Midnight-ish, probably. If we got picked up at like 1 from the underground tunnel or whatever with the cab.
Right. Okay, so the Satin Prince is performing tomorrow evening, which means you have a little bit of time to prepare tonight, and then you can get an actual proper rest, which is something you are all in pretty dire need of, given that you slept in the weird mall, the shit shed in the mall.
Yeah.
So the Satin Prince is performing his final show. You missed this evening's show, but his final show tomorrow night. The good news is he has a reputation for clubbing after his shows are done. He's very meticulous about he's like almost like a monk before his shows, just to make sure that he's got full performance energy. If you've watched that like kind of like incredibly sad Lady Gaga documentary where just like she finishes a show and she like stumbles into a room so they can inject her with like fluids so that she can fucking rehydrate, like. It's that kind of shit. He's truly is a very, very focused artist. However, as soon as his tour is done in a particular place, he wants to sample the best of the city and the best it has to offer. So your best chance to get him, or to at least find him, is to get him at one of these after parties somewhere in the city. Now, the catch is none of you know Montreal nightlife at all. Iris, even if you'd come to Montreal, I very much doubt that you'd be out clubbing. And obviously, Ridley and Everett, this isn't your jam. TJ Malone is also unfortunately completely useless at this because obviously he runs a bar, so he's up all night and knows nothing of it. So, Everett, you begin to search the internet just kind of for the club scene. Sorry, you've got a fingy up there, sir.
Nathan Dinkeldorf is a cab driver in the city of Montreal. Mm-hmm. Probably takes people to and from major hotspots at night.
Very good call. All right. You know what? Just for using your connections, I'll bump you up one. So you call the newly founded Dinkeldorf Cab Company. He's busy getting everything up and running. There's a lot to do to start a cab company in the year of our Lord 2019, which I believe is the year this is still set in. I can't remember when we started the show. Time is a flat circle. But regardless, starting a cab company now, adorable. He's rushing around doing that. That said, he is able to point you in the right direction. And basically what he says is that, yeah, he drops people off at clubs all the time. Part of the problem with being a cab driver and not like an Uber XL driver is he's not necessarily going to the highest end clubs, but he is dropping hopefuls off. And he says that basically he can tell you like where all the clubs are. But he's like, listen, if you want the real scoop, though, you got to talk to Dedrick.
Greetings, children of the night. It is I, Count Vlad von Lestat, drinker of blood, keeper of the chronicle, and all around the spooky dude. I used to host Blood and Syrup, but now I spend all of my time in the Dum Dums and Dragons Patreon. Yes, for just the cost of $1,
You can join the Patreon, get into the Discord, and talk to other fans about everything that's happening in your favorite shows. Alternatively, at higher levels, you can get ad-free feeds. You can add names and locations to the shows, or at the $25 level, you can even create your own NPC of darkness, or light, or whatever various lighting solution you want. You create your character, and they appear in one of our shows, causing all forms of shenanigans, and your name ends up in the credits. It's a pretty sweet deal. In any case, join our Patreon of darkness at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Hey everybody, Tom McGee here, your friendly neighborhood DM, and I just wanted to thank you so much for listening to our shows. I hope you're having a great time. Obviously we are. I'm probably really stressed because they're probably doing something horrible to me right now, but I hope you're enjoying it, and we're enjoying you being here. And listen, if you want to get a little bit more involved in our show and with the various things we do, you can check out
patreon.com/dumdumdice.
Where you can find more information about how you can become a part of the show, how you can screw with me on air, how you can add names and all that sort of stuff. And it's a great way to support us in our ongoing dumb adventures. So thanks very much for joining us, and I will see you out there in the Dumbverse.
He runs this crazy blog. It's called Deadheads. He thinks he has fans that call themselves Deadheads. He doesn't. But I hear people talking about it all the time. For a while, I had one of those stupid tablets built into the seat of my cab. And people were on his blog all the time. But yeah, Dederick Janssen, he's a strange dude. But, you know, he's the most connected club guy in Montreal. If it's a nightclub, he knows it. And if it's a nightclub that a celebrity will be at, chances are he'll be your hookup. And then he kind of leans in conspiratorially and he's like, I've also heard he might be, you know, like you.
Well, that's just great. Thanks.
Isn't it? Okay, honk, honk. I'm thinking of making that my catchphrase. Do you like
honk,
it?
Honk, honk.
Yeah, I just end phone calls with a honk, honk, because that's what people think of when they think of taxis, right?
Who are you talking to over there?
I'm talking to Nathan. I think you should workshop it. I think it's a good starting point, but I think you can top it.
Okay. All right. As my key investor, I'll yield to your knowledge. Oh man, I spent an hour on that. Okay.
Wait,
okay.
Is he workshopping something with you?
Not really. He just asked me my opinion on something. I mean,
oh, give me the phone. Give me the phone, please. Okay. Hey, Nathan.
I feel like I've given him the phone from the sounds of what he's doing.
Hi, Mr. Beef.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you don't need to ask for marketing advice from the Southern Detective. He doesn't know the market. You know your market. You've got to do that. What we need is for you to get really tinted windows on the side and the back of the cab. So, you know, whatever the fines are, that's what we'll fucking pay for. That's what we're here for. But you know the marketing. Whatever you want to do, do it. Don't. We're not a taxi cab company for coppers, you know. I don't know what he thinks, and he doesn't even fucking know.
Okay, well, thank you. That's very helpful. In that case, you know, how could I not take advice from a man named Ridley Beef? In that case, honk, honk, Mr. Beef. I'll catch you soon. And then he hangs up.
Oh, fuck. Were you saying no to honk, honk? Because that's fucking awful.
I was suggesting he could, I don't know, do a little better. Yeah.
Ah, fuck. All right. Maybe we can get him to switch it into Latin or something.
I don't think that's going to help. My Latin's not great, but I don't think honk honk is going to really translate into something fantastic.
It sounds, if we do it Latin, it'll probably sound like something from Harry Potter. You know, I saw those fucking movies. Total wank.
Harry Potter is a wank.
Oh. Yeah, total. Look at us. Where the fucking wizard's at? I don't see no fucking school of magic. I got a fucking invite. I'm fucking smart.
Well, I mean, hey, we didn't know vampires existed until just recently, so I don't know. Maybe don't write off wizards yet.
In the background, Iris is just like cutting up a lumberjack shirt with just a complete look of like disgust on her face. Excellent. Okay, so yes, you discover from your success and from using the Dinkeldorf network, you discover that A, you should be checking out deadheads.org.
Not the .org, eh?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's affordable. You discover that the Satin Prince is final show will be tomorrow. And I think you got three successes, right? So I will give you one more. What's one other thing you think Everett would want to know?
In regards to the Satin Prince,
I should say either the Satin Prince or now that you've got Dedrick's name, it could also be about Dedrick.
Maybe then about Dedrick, just to help track him down. Yeah.
Cool. So Dedrick's website is actually pretty nice as websites go. It's clearly a professional design. You can see a variety of clubs. And honestly, like, I think I can speak to personal experience here because I don't know shit about nightclubs. When I see a website with fancy nightclubs, I'm like, oh shit, that looks like a fancy nightclub. And that's kind of the vibe you get. Like, this guy does seem to know his stuff. Also, you can see from the social media thread running on the side that, you know, there's just constant retweets and comments and people asking him things. And he really, really does seem to almost be a tastemaker when it comes to the club scene here in Montreal. So definitely an ally worth noting.
Is his social media, because of the shows that are ongoing right now and the next one tonight, is there anything talking about the Satin Prince, like on his social media timeline or anything?
Yeah, there. So you can definitely see he seems to be the tone is very like a smarter version of Perez Hilton. So like a lot of kind of like you can tell he's building hype, basically being like it's a lot of like, oh, Satin Prince is in town. You know, he's got a famous reputation. Looks like one nightclub's gonna be very popular. If only there was someone who knew, winky face. Hashtag Deadheads Unite, hashtag Janssen knows, hashtag smash
other the likes, other hashtags that no one's using.
Yeah, et cetera hashtags. You can get the sense that he clearly knows where this guy is going to be. He's just building hype. And I think to some extent you almost appreciate the way he's leaving crumbs for this thing. Like, he's clearly bumping business to several nightclubs while also not giving anything away. And based on the retweets and everything else coming off his site, you can see that if he says, like, I don't know, maybe he'll be at this place, people just book it there. It's the classic paparazzi thing. Like, he's not even going to be there till tomorrow, but people are going and kind of staking the place out and all that sort of stuff. So it seems like a very well-connected guy. That said, you don't get much of a sense of him beyond the influencer thing. There doesn't seem to be any personality aside from, like, these truly heinous hashtags and a lot of kind of retweeting and everything else, but there's not a lot of him on his site, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. It's like a brand more than a personal account.
That's kind of what you're getting. Yeah.
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 Okay.
Also that this might just be his whole life. Like, you're not entirely sure, but yeah, definitely feels like someone who spends a lot of their time doing this and admittedly has something to show for it, but this is like a full-time party guy.
Okay.
Iris, having just completed your makeover into Lurleen, what do you think is the first thing you do in Malone's?
I probably just check in with the guys to see if I look any different, because I mean, as much as this feels strange for me, I need to make sure that this guy's work. So probably testing it out on people at the bar.
Okay.
The guys. And
you get a bunch of people just kind of being like, Lurleen, you're back. Oh, we heard you moved to Oshawa. Oh, did you not like it in Oshawa?
No.
Ah, that's the classic terse Lurleen we know and love. Hey, Lurleen, it seems like TJ has finally gotten over his hatred of karaoke nights. Are you going to sing one of your famous karaoke songs?
No.
Ah, that's classic Lurleen. All right, honey. Look, I'm going to take a Bud. He's going to take a Bud Light. Let's get a couple of Scotch on the Rocks for the ladies at that table over there. And he points to a table with two ladies who are clearly drinking wine.
I just turn and walk away.
Ah, classic Lurleen. But she always remembers our orders, and I'm confident she'll return. They had a disappointing evening.
I did.
Cool. So the three of you meet back up. Iris, you're convinced the disguise is good enough, at least for now. In the short term, as long as you don't go back to your place, you'll probably be all right. Although, you know, you're going to have a very worried concierge. It's just going to be so upset that you're not around. What do you think the plan is? You've got a few more hours tonight. I will say that I'm not really going to let you go anywhere too far from home base, only because you guys are still in pretty fucking bad shape. So this is kind of a, like, is there anything local you want to do, or is it time to bed down for the day?
I want to check on Harvey.
So you go downstairs. You guys put him in the Martha box, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. He's out cold, cradling the now kind of desiccated arm from Billy Mays that he has just like been working on for a bit. Everett, you also noticed that he seems to have coughed up a bunch of blood on himself, which would suggest that he isn't a... what the hell's the term for you specifically? It's not a diabolic.
Blood leech?
Yeah. He doesn't seem like he's a blood leech. Like, this didn't seem to go well for him.
All right, so I think you didn't realize, but over your shoulder, there's just like Ridley, who's just like awkwardly doing that, like rub the back of your neck when you don't know what to say thing. And he's like,
oh, so, your neck. Okay, I was like, get the fuck off me.
Yeah, well, like, okay, he's doing both of you, one arm on him and one arm on you. Just like, you know what? Now we're dead. So we just got to be in this together. So awkward conversation. He's going to need to eat when he wakes up, or he's going to eat somebody in a bar who don't deserve it. So... you know him best. I'm also a dead now, so I've got to be a part of this. Why do we feed him? We're going to go out and get him. And we know you need to probably eat tomorrow if it's going to be an adventure. Iris, you probably need to eat, right, tomorrow before we go out?
Very nice.
Okay, we need someone for everyone. Do we want to go out, you know, pop to the store, get a nice person, bring him back, make him sleep for a bit, tied up and gagged, and then drink him in the evening?
Why don't we think long-term solution? How about once we rescue the boys, we set up a sort of blood donation system. There's enough of them that they don't need to drain themselves much, and it'll keep everybody pretty well fed around here.
Well, you see, I can't eat them because they're good people.
What do you mean, good people? They're criminals.
Yeah, that doesn't matter.
They look gay.
They look after their community. They care about people I care about. And they only hurt people who's in the game. They're good people.
You attacked someone at a grocery store.
Yeah, I could eat myself, but it doesn't make any sense.
I don't understand that response, Ridley. You attacked someone at a grocery store. It seems like it doesn't matter whether they're good or not.
Well, that wasn't on purpose. You remember when you almost ate that fucking lady we were talking about in a bedroom, and then I had a fucking hypnotizer? You want to pretend you're fucking perfect?
I don't pretend I'm perfect. I kind
of... Me neither. I just can't eat my fucking boys.
Not even if they're not being eaten. They're giving you a little bit of blood.
No, I fucking would throw up everywhere. You know, it'd be like, you can't eat certain people because you and I are from the same clan.
Anyone. He can only eat vampires.
Have we talked about this? Because I think I've just seen you eat vampires, but I would probably just assume you ate people elsewhere unless you've told me.
I have not told anyone.
Oh, damn.
Because it seems like it's a taboo based on what Ellen's telling me. So Ellen fugues. So yep. I can't.
So that, who the fuck can't you eat?
Iris, I feel like this is of interest to you as well, because everyone's been playing the morality game lately, and you've kind of got a bit off the deep end on the murder train, so...
I'm sitting with my legs crossed in a corner, sipping some tea.
And then, like, trying not to throw up the tea, and then sipping the tea.
This is juicy. I'm like, ooh, how's this going to happen?
Yeah, DJ's like, honestly, What? This is.
It's their first marital squabble. They'll get over it.
Oh, that's first. That's adorable. I remember my first.
Well, now you have a kid, so I mean, it's a little bit higher.
Oh, see.
Yeah, you have an anchor, Harvey.
Yeah.
All right, sorry. Carry on.
Where were we?
Yeah, so like, who can't you eat? We all can't eat someone. It's part of being a venti. I don't know what the fuck they call us.
I don't think I can eat innocent people. I don't.
So we got the same one.
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, I guess, yeah, how fucking guilty do they have to be? Because everyone does some shit. Are we talking like Catholic rules, which is like, I ate fish on a Friday. We're like, eat his fucking ass. So what's the limit?
Ridley, I don't know, all right? This is all real new to me. And as far as I can tell, just like before with real food, I guess it's just up to our personal tastes.
Oh, I haven't found that to be true at all. It's like a fucking hard line. That's what they told me. You'll know. It makes you fucking sick or it don't. You can actually smell it on people if you get fucking close.
I don't know, Ridley. I don't have an answer for you. I haven't figured that part of being a kindred out, I guess.
Everett, all right, can you please roll me... as much as I would like this to be a pure improv challenge, these dice got to get rolled at some point. I'm going to say that is a, where the fuck? Yeah, probably a subterfuge.
Subterfuge?
Yeah.
What social attribute do you want for that?
I think manipulation. or actually, no, I'd give you composure. Because I think the nature of this lie is such that if you can keep it together, because you're not like trying to actively convince him of anything, you're just trying to keep a straight poker face. Let's hope it's better than your investigation.
It is not. One success.
All right. Ryan, can you roll me, please, an awareness and... maybe a resolve.
Cool.
I also seems... have like no idea what they're talking about because everyone smells yummy to me.
Good old.
I have two successes. Both are tens. One is on a hunger die.
Messy
successy! Yay! You're fucking lying.
You attack me.
This episode of Blood and Syrup features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Megan Miles at Maggie Miles on Twitter, and storyteller Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and the Dum Dums and Dice logos are done by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme songs are What's Really Going On Right Now by Chase Allen Willis and Traffic by Kai Engel. And our ads use the tracks No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All of their music is available on freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com, our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. You can also buy merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, and you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Sleep well, children of the night. Spooky.
Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, the Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Olin Anderson, Sue One, Devin Boyce, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Anthony Griffin, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.